People Station.
Are you ready?
92.3 Inspiration FM.
Okay, still 92.3 Inspiration FM. Welcome to Under the Sun, brought to you by the British Council. Now, Under the Sun basically features the best of contemporary Nigerian writing brought to you by the British Council. Now, the series is devised by Graham Mort and produced by Chidi Uku. That's devised by Graham Mort and produced by Chidi Uku. Now, if you've been listening every weekend from 1 p.m., then you know what the deal is. And, well, last week we had Dancing Gods, written by Chidi Uku, which basically talked about the tribal ceremony which led to murder, bloodlust, and hypocritical stance of a witch doctor, basically talking about how a mother kills herself to exact justice and corruption is revealed. So it's basically about everything under the sun, put into writing, put onto a CD with effects, and just basically to make sure that you get the gist of the story. Now, this week on Under the Sun, we have My In-Laws, and this one's written by Mrs. Bumi Julius Adeoye, and I'll be hitting you with that in a couple of seconds. The number to call is 277-3923 or 277-3923 or 2923. That's 277-3923 or 277-2923 if you have questions or contributions. Okay, so this week we have My In-Laws, written by Bumi Julius Adeoye. Take a listen.
In the sitting room of the Harrison family house, with my hair shorn, I was made to sit in the center of many women who were clad in black. A woman who claimed to be the most senior of all the Harrison's daughters-in-law had given me a black oversized blouse and wrapper to wear. It was about 9 p.m. I was hungry and tired, with no strength in me to cry anymore. I sat on the floor staring blankly into space, hoping I would just wake up and discover that the whole episode was one horrible nightmare. Why should death rip off half of my being? What would become of my unborn baby? None of Victor's relatives knew anything yet. Even Victor died not knowing that he left a seed behind. You must not stop crying, or else they will conclude you have a hand in his death, a middle-aged woman whispered in my ear. I resumed crying with the other women while the men continued to drink schnapp and eat kola nut. The night went on like that. The next day was when my real nightmare started. I was told that I would have to sleep in the same room with Victor's body for the remaining days before the burial, as well as drink water used in bathing him. I was made to understand that while the first act could be settled financially, the latter I had to go through because it was the only way to exonerate me from being considered as the architect of my husband's death. When I heard this, I fainted. When I came to, I found myself in a dimly lit room. The only voice I heard was that of Victor's elder sister, remembering what she had told me. I tried to explain to her why I couldn't perform the act demanded of me. My sister, please help me. Apart from the fact that the act is absurd, I am pregnant and it can hurt the baby, I said. My dear, that is the custom and it cannot be changed by you, replied Victor's sister. Please help my unborn child. What will happen to him if I drink that, I stammered. If you don't have a hand in his death, nothing would happen to you or the baby, Victor's sister said. But he died in an accident, I protested. which could have been engineered by you to get hold of his properties, Victor's sister said, and left. I was dumbfounded. Engineer the death of my husband? And for some property? How callous could people be? I tried to push off the thought of I should have listened to my parents. What kind of custom would allow another human being to drink water from a corpse? I was still trying to grapple with the facts before me when my sister-in-law returned. All our relatives have come to an arrangement that will both suit you and our unborn baby. I hope that the news was that they were sorry about the obnoxious traditional rites that they said I had to pass through. To keep the family name going, and so that Victor's line will remain, it has been decided that you marry Imma, your husband's immediate younger brother, who is the only other male on your husband's mother's side, she said. She said this as if it were some good news, and again left, this time locking the door after her. My head went light. I felt deep hunger pangs. I'd not eaten since morning. They had said it was my fasting for the dead day. Supper was later brought by a young girl who behaved like someone acting under strict instructions. She entered, placed the food on the floor, and went to open the window. The moonlight streamed in, followed by a refreshing breeze. The girl left without uttering a word. The only furniture in the room was the iron bed. I felt like I was in a cell. Was I now to be treated like a criminal, all because my husband died? After all, they were the ones that summoned him home and were probably the engineers of his death. I looked at the food. It was yam pottage. I did not want to eat their food, as I wasn't sure what the true contents were. Maybe part of the corpse. I shuddered. Oh, they can't do that. I then took it up to the window and scrutinized it. I needed energy, so I ate some. I went back to the window and stared into the heavens, calling silently for help. My glance landed on a bush path at the backyard. If only I could climb the window. But it had iron bars. If I could get my head through, the rest of my body would follow. Luckily for me, I could pull the bed, but it made noise. I dragged it intermittently towards the window so as not to attract attention. It was about 1 a.m., and with my task done, I leapt off the window ledge, following the bush path to the express road, which was not far away, and I was lucky to get on one of the late-night buses on its way to Lagos. On the seventh day of Victor's death, my family and I went to the Pentecostal church and a funeral ceremony was held for Victor. His picture represented his corpse. After the 40th day mandatory sit at home, mourn and do nothing rites, I left my elder sister's home where I'd stayed all through, accompanied by my sister, her husband, and some of my friends, and went home. As if lying in wait for us, the moment we got into the house, the relatives of Victor drove in a Mitsubishi bus. It was followed by an empty pickup van. They came in without knocking, sending my heart throbbing at double speed. Ima was amongst them, and he was the one that spoke.
We thought that you would run forever. How could you do that to brother? Eh? Couldn't you wait to at least pour ashes and dust on his coffin?
How could I stay when your people asked me to drink water from Victor's body?
Couldn't you do it for brother? You loved him, Abby.
Another man who seemed quite impatient said that they should go about the business that brought them. He told the gathering that, for failing to perform the funeral rites for your late husband, the family no longer regards you as wife. However, The pregnancy you claim to be carrying still belongs to us, and we will come for the child a year after it is born. I chuckled. We also want to pack all the properties of our son and brother, and we're giving you 5 days to leave this house. And then you must hand over the keys to his shop and the sewing workshop to us. My sister and I laughed. They had divorced me from the dead, but wanted the unborn child, and then all the property. So, with what was I to take care of myself and the baby? I called Ima. You know where Victor and I keep the documents, the suitcase on top of our wardrobe. Please bring it, I said. I was sad that Victor's memory should be marred by such nonsense. Ima brought the suitcase and handed it over to me. I'm surprised that you're part of this delegation, Brother Ima, I said. As I opened the suitcase, nothing in this house is hidden from you.
They said I should bring them, and I have. I was only mad at you for not waiting for the final interment.
I brought out several documents, and my in-laws realized that the house and the two cars, including the one involved in the accident, were my inheritance. The receipts of all the electronic gadgets bore my name, and the certificate of ownership of the sewing workshop was in my name. I opened the superstore for Victor, and I do not want to lay claim to it, since it was a gift from me to him. And then, of course, his clothes, most of which I bought, are gifts too. You may have them. As I said this, two of the relatives stormed out. The others looked at Ima.
Don't look at me. I've been trying to tell you that brother had no job after he was sacked from the bank that confiscated all his belongings. His wife has been the one taking care of us and opened a shop for him.
My in-laws.
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 A shop for him.
My in-laws came limp and went out with their heads bowed. It was then that I appreciated the reason why my loving husband insisted that I should put my name on the receipt of everything I bought in the house. Receipt of everything I bought in the house. Receipt of everything I bought in the house. Known how greedy I bought in the house. Known how greedy I bought in the house. He must have known, and twere.
Okay, welcome back. 15 minutes past 1 p.m. and that was My In-Laws, written by Bumi Julius Adeoye. And like I mentioned earlier on, if you have any questions or contributions, I'll be flying solo this week, by the way. So it's just me and you talking about what you just heard. And like I mentioned earlier on, if you have any comments or contributions or questions, dial 277-3923 or 277-2923. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
What's your name?
My name is Lisa.
All right, Lisa, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Ajawa Estate.
All right, Lisa, so what do you have to say? What could you gather from the story?
Well, from the story, most of it is actually what happened. And the sad thing about it is that we've got nothing in the society that protects the women. I just believe that women, when they lose their husbands, family should stand aside as soon as possible, because believe it or not, this is actually what happened. I just think the government should have something to do with the welfare of women, because frankly speaking, they're not protected in the society at all.
And are you married, by the way, Lisa?
Yes, I am.
What's your take on the issue of women being independent, having their own property, their own house, their own names, even though they're married?
Well, I think for some reason it's necessary, because women now, especially married women, are well-to-do. most of the time even more than their husbands. Though, if it falls on the wrong hands, it can be a problem, especially if the women have no regards for their husband, because in as much as we're saying all of this, it's important that the man is recognized as the head. I am an old-fashioned woman, and I believe that, but with some restrictions and with some precautions, that's what I think.
Okay. All right, thanks a lot for calling, Lisa.
Oh, I did.
Bye-bye. All right, there we have Lisa, who has her own point of view. You know, yes, you're a woman. Yes, you're married. Yes, you might be independent, but still have your place in the house. But the issue now is that, like Lisa rightly said, there should be some protection or something in place for women in this kind of situation. And the truth is, where this usually happens, you know, it's in the rural areas, villages where people can't really get to them. And the question now is, how do we take care, or how do we address this kind of issue? Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
How are you? What's your name?
My name is Funke.
Funke, welcome to Under the Sun. What's your contribution or question?
Well, my contribution is, the story we just heard sounds like a true life story. And I think it's something we shouldn't really take lightly, because we find a lot of women who go through such things and are traumatized after that experience and truly can't live full lives after such. You find they're emotionally messed up, if you would allow me to use the word, and it takes them a long time and a lot of therapy to get their lives back together.
And what do you think is the role of the husband in all of this?
I think fundamentally it's important for every man to let his family know his wife's place in the marriage. They need to know that he values her. And I believe if there's that level of respect, the in-laws, for whatever reason or whatever culture they have, may have probably done what they needed to do carefully and not as aggressively as they did. At the point where they came into the house and then, you know, making noise at her brother's property, I mean, they probably, if they knew, okay, well, she was the one who was actually taking all the responsibility, they might have been careful in doing whatever they wanted to do or claim whatever they wanted to claim. So the man has to be able to let his family know that his wife is important to the marriage setting.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling, Funke.
Thank you.
All right. Now, I had a chat with the writer of this particular story. That's Bumi Julius Adeoye, to shed more light on her story, why she wrote this particular story. So I'm going to play back that phone call. And I'll be back after this to take your calls, your questions, and your contributions. It's still Under the Sun. Here is my interview with Bumi Julius Adeoye.
I am Mrs. Bumi Julius Adeoye. I'm a lecturer at the Department of Theatre at Redeemer's University, Ogun State.
Bumi, would you say you're a person who respects tradition?
I do respect traditions that are not obsolete, traditions that are progressive, traditions that will not retard your progress.
Now, what was your inspiration behind this particular story?
It's based on true stories of several women in our society. They get bereaved, the husband dies, and then the next thing the family, especially the in-laws, are thinking about is the property of the deceased. They don't care about what happens to the woman, nor even the children he leaves behind. And then the woman gets left in the cold.
How do you think a woman in this kind of situation should fight back?
Well, in the first place, I advise women when they get married that you must find something to do. Most women just tend to be housewives and they don't even have a cupboard to their name. For instance, like I said, I am married and my husband encourages me to buy property, to buy shares. Not that he thinks there's anything wrong with his family or that, okay, he's going to die soon, but then that it is good for a woman to be empowered financially. If you're empowered financially, then if anything happens, then you can stand up for your right and for those of your children.
Now, in your story, the woman was going to be forced to sleep with the corpse of the husband, drink the water used to bathe the husband,
yes,
and asked to marry the younger brother.
Yes, it happens.
And what do you think is the best way out of this, legally, or should she take laws into her own hands?
If she can escape, like the lady in my story, if she can escape, let her escape. Now, take laws into our hands. For instance, I had mentioned about financial empowerment. Already, she's empowered. So when they come for the property, if that's all they care about, then she can as well just leave them to their tradition. She can stamp her foot on the ground and say, no, I'm not going through any rights. And of course, she knows that definitely they will throw her out of the house. And then she can move elsewhere.
Now, would you say there's a stigmatization on the relationship between wives especially and the parents of the husband, the in-laws?
First, it begins even before the marriage. And I would blame the ladies and then the mothers-in-law. Because first, the mother-in-law feels that you are stealing my son. That's for some mothers. And then the wife too wants her husband to herself. So we need to strike a balance to see ourselves as families. That's the only way it will work out. And then, of course, the mothers too should be able to recognize the fact that, okay, these people are starting a new family, and I would say give them a breathing space to grow.
Is there any other message that you want to pass across to women in this situation through your story?
Yes, the story is of someone who was just lucky, who had a good husband, who had been advising her to, whatever you buy, you can write your name on the receipt. But we have millions of men out there who are not like that. So I would advise women to be financially capable and know that, yes, death can come calling anytime. It could be the woman, it could be the man. But the children will be better for it if both the man and the woman are financially empowered.
Thank you very much, Bumi.
Thank you very much. You're welcome.
It's still Under the Sun right here on Inspiration FM 92.3. We just had Mrs. Bumi Julius Adeoye, who wrote the story, My In-Laws, which you've just heard. Basically, it's about a man who dies, leaving his wife pregnant. She is suspected of his death and has to sleep with his dead body, drink the water used to bathe him, and marry the younger brother. And that's basically the gist of the story. And she's shared her views and opinions, and I would like to get yours too. So hit me up on 277-3923 or 277-2923 for your contributions or your questions. Hello.
Yeah, good day.
Good afternoon. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Blessing.
All right, Blessing. Where are you calling from?
I'm actually in traffic in Ikeja.
Okay, Blessing. What's your question or contribution?
Yeah, it's rather a comment or contribution.
Okay.
Yeah. See, this story is very pathetic. I actually think that this kind of story is heard mainly from the eastern part of the country, where I happen to come from. And this, what they call tradition of drinking bath water from the cups, I think it's not on every occasion. It's where the in-laws are jealous, where the in-laws are, let me call them bad, when they suspect the woman of having a hand in the death of her husband, then that will come in. But these days, you find out that every occasion it comes in, because where they are, maybe while the man was alive, the in-laws are really envious, jealous of the wife. I said, whatever happens, they see it as an opportunity to punish this woman who has connived their son, their brother, who has not allowed the brother to spend money on them and things like that. So they see that opportunity to punish this woman. But one thing I want to tell the men, I think this thing lies with the men. Men should be able to, while they are alive, secure the future or the happiness of the wife and the children. If you really love your wife and your children, if you really love your children, while you are alive, plan for them. Write a will. Write a will and keep with a lawyer. Once these people come after that, once the will comes in, everybody will find his or her place. That's one. Two, drinking water from cups or something. I think every woman should say no to that vehemently. I haven't heard of a situation where they killed a woman because she refused to do that. Or if the life is in danger, then I think the best thing would be to escape. But after the escape, the person has to go back. The woman in the story probably was just pregnant. What if she had other children? How was she going to escape with all of them like that? It's not easy. It won't be easy for her. So the best thing is, this thing lies with the men, and then the woman, talk to your husband also. Once in a while, keep these things in. There are ways of keeping these things in without the man suspecting that you are up to something.
Up to no good.
Yeah, it's up to no good, because actually it's not good for you to go and have you written a will?
So they don't think you're planning for his death.
Exactly, but somehow, really, women need to sit up, and men also. This thing really lies with the men, please.
I understand. Blessing you, I really hate to cut you short. You sound very interesting and very well informed. Thank you very much for your contribution.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Okay, so basically, in a nutshell, Blessing is talking about, one, the husband getting everything set for the family, the wife and the kids, just in case he's not around. Maybe he might want to put down a will or set things straight with his family, especially if there's this detection of, not getting along well between the in-laws, that is the wife and the parents of the husband. If you know your husband and there's some kind of friction between your wife and the in-laws, then that's even the more reason why you should set things straight. And writing a will is not a bad thing. You know, it's just preparing for the future. It doesn't mean you're going to drop dead tomorrow. But at the same time, there's no guarantee as to what will happen tomorrow. So at the end of the day, it's all about preparing and taking care of your family long, long after you're gone. And I think that's the message Blessing was trying to pass across. Let's just take one more call before the end of the show. It's been Under the Sun, and we've had a short story titled My In-Laws, written by Bumi Julius Adeoye, which talks about the tradition of a woman who loses her husband, sleeping with her husband, dead husband, and drinking the water used to bathe him, and some other rituals that happen as a result of a man leaving his wife behind. Let's take this last caller. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What's the name, sir?
My name is Samuel.
Okay.
I'm calling from Aguda.
Welcome to the show, Samuel. Can we make this quick, your last contribution?
Yeah. Well, I thank the writer of that story. It was a very good one. And this kind of a thing, like the first caller said, happens mostly in the eastern part. But to the man, he has a job to do. For example, I am married. And from what I've been saying, everybody knows that if anything happens, God forbid, my wife takes over everything. She takes over definitely everything. And because of the relationship between me and my wife, it is clear to anybody that nobody can come in between the two of us. And women, as it is said, have to be fully empowered. They don't need to fear anything anybody will do. And it's a very pathetic story. It happens. I've heard about this before, and I think that it's very, very painful.
And I think you're the kind of man Blessing, the last caller, was talking about.
Definitely.
All right.
I believe that my wife should be who she is. Even without me, if I'm not around, for example, if I travel out, she should be financially empowered so that the family can move ahead easily.
Okay. Thank you very much, Samuel.
It's a pleasure.
All right, I'd like to thank all the callers, Lisa, Funke, Blessing, and Samuel, for your contributions. Under the Sun comes up same time next week at 1 o'clock. The broadcast is an output from the Radiophonics Project, funded by the British Council. The views expressed are not necessarily those of the British Council. We've had My In-Laws, written by Bumi Julius Adeoye. I'm yours truly still, Oscar. The program continues. Thank you very much again, and see you next week.
Inspiration Radio. Music you can feel.
Music you can feel.